Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is about your future. What if the next years of your life can be the best years of your life? When full-time work becomes optional, you'll have the time to do all the things you've always wanted to do, if only you had the time, and soon you will. But to make the most of it, you'll need to be well prepared, and that goes well beyond your financial planning. Each week, your host, Joe Casey, is inviting you into conversations with his guests to bring you insights, inspiration, and practical ideas to design your new life, a life you'll build around what matters most to you and on your own terms. Let's get started.
It's amazing how much stuff we accumulate. But what's the best approach to decluttering and downsizing? Today, I'll be speaking with someone who knows a lot about those topics, and he knows how to do them well. Matt Paxton, host of the Emmy-nominated series Lazy List with Matt Paxton, which is running three seasons on PBS stations nationwide, is a leading downsizing and decluttering expert. He started cleaning houses after his father, stepfather, and both his grandfathers died in the same year, leaving him with several estates to settle at once. Ever since, Matt and his network of experts have been working with families struggling with settling estates and cleanouts for almost 20 years. He's also been an extreme cleaning expert featured on 13 seasons of the hit A&E TV show, Hoarders. Matt is the author of the book, Keep the Memories, Lose the Stuff, created in collaboration with AARP and featuring his signature steps to downsizing and decluttering your home. He appears regularly as a public speaker, television guest on shows, and radio personality, helping families find the upside of downsizing. Matt is the national decluttering and downsizing expert for AARP and Goodwill Industries International. He lives in Atlanta, Georgia, with his wife and seven kids. Yes, seven kids. I didn't misspeak. It's not a typo on his bio.
Matt, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So many things that I loved about your book. And first off, though, why is it hard, so hard to say goodbye to the stuff we accumulate over the years?
Well, there's a lot of reasons that we struggle with letting go of the stuff, but I've kind of, in my 20-year career, I've found out that we really attach to the people behind the stuff, not the actual stuff, right? It's the memories, it's the people, it's the stories, it's the way those people made us feel. All of that's wrapped up in the stuff. And so when we let go of stuff, we're letting go of those people that we love so much. So it's hard.
Absolutely. And what do stories have to do with decluttering?
Well, my whole method is about telling the stories. Marie Kondo has got her What Sparks Joy. Well, for me, it's, man, I have found that if you tell the stories, it actually gets easier to let go of the stuff later because you've celebrated the people so much. And so I have a TV show on public television on PBS called Legacy List with Matt Paxton. And that show is really about, you know, really uncovering the four or five, sometimes six items in your house that mean the most to your family's history. And what that does is when you create, we call it a legacy list, it really just prioritizes like the top five stories in your family's legacy and in their history. And what I found is people start celebrating, you know, for me, it was my dad. My dad died when I was a kid. And my legacy list had a few of my dad's items on there. And I've talked so much about my dad when it was time to clean out my house 20 years later, I was able to let go of a lot of his stuff because I had celebrated his things so much because of those stories. So for me, it's all about telling the stories, man. The more you tell, the more you celebrate the person, the more happier the process is, the more fun it is, and most importantly, the easier it is to let go of the stuff later.
We mentioned this before we started recording, but you mentioned Marie Kondo. My wife had come to me one day a few years ago and said, this great book by Marie Kondo. And I said, I got that book, but I couldn't find it. So yeah. She loves telling that story about me because she's a tosser and I'm a keeper. So, but you write in your book that you fell in love with a minimalist, and I'm curious about what did you learn about yourself and decluttering since then?
Yeah, this is a great story, man. So halfway through the book, I decided to move. So I had written this book and I had written the outline, you know, and this book is in collaboration with AARP. And that's not a quick moving organization. We had written the book, we had written the organ, you know, the outline, and we were ready to go. And then I had to clean out my own stuff. And that changed it. I can give you guys advice all day long, and that's easy. But when it's your stuff, that's when the emotions kick in. And so I got about halfway through the process, and I had to go through my entire house. In the middle of the pandemic, I had a month to pack up my entire, at that point, 46-year career or life. And at the end of the day, I fell in love. I mean, that's why I was moving. I was moving to be with my now fiance and her kids. We were joining our two families. Me and my three boys moved and moved with her and her four kids. So we have seven kids between us. And my wife is a minimalist, and which means we don't have a whole lot of stuff. So I had to get rid of 75% of my stuff to fit. And I'm telling the long story because it matters. At the end of the day, my finish line was I wanted a happy family. And I really struggled. Like, it was the reason I had to rewrite the book was because I got down to like the last week and I was like, I don't think I can do this. And I called, and she was just my girlfriend at the time. And I said, I don't know. Like, this may not happen. And it was the first time I'd experienced my client's fear. And I was like, oh, this is what they go through. And it was like, okay, I get it now. And I've been doing this for 20 years. And I called she's now my fiance, and she said, hey, look, man, end of the day, she goes, I'm down here. She goes, I live in Atlanta. She goes, if you want to stay up there in Richmond with all your stuff, she goes, have fun. But if you want to be with me, you got to get rid of it. And it really became that simple. It was do I want to have a new life that I don't know what's going to happen? And that's scary. Or do I want to have that safe space that I'm obviously not happy in, right? But there'd be no change. And so when I got hit with that, it was like, oh, okay, this is really what it's about. And this is why my clients struggle. And I got to rewrite this book. Crap. You know, so not only did I move, I had to, every 10 minutes, I had to like go through my emotions and rewrite down, oh, this is why I'm doing this. So it's a very personal book. I put a lot of personal stories into it. But I'll tell you, minimalism, the core of minimalism is that you'll have more joy and more happiness with less stuff. So more is less. I mean, and that was a leap of faith. I had to jump. I had to really get rid of things that I cared so much about, and in hopes that it would make space for a better life down the road. And man, did it ever. Like, I mean, I did it ever. And I promise you, now we have seven kids, so you can say we didn't really downsize, but you can't have a lot. You can't have a lot of stuff with that many kids in a small home, because the managing all the stuff takes it up. So what did I really learn through minimalism? Well, I did learn that the basic principles are true. There is a better life with less, because you're not spending all this time managing it all. You're not spending all this time like taking care of it and sorting it and organizing it. But I'll tell you, the biggest lesson of minimalism was it exposes your parenting and grandparenting. Like, we rely on stuff to parent our kids. And now we have seven kids, ages 8 to 16. So we have six boys, 8 to 14, and then a 16-year-old girl. And for me, my wife had already moved on. She was good. Like, she parents. She's really good because she doesn't have stuff in the house. But I had let my kids play video games, and all of a sudden you get rid of all that stuff. And it exposes that, like, 2.5-3 hours a day, you're just letting the stuff, go ride your bike, go do this, go do that. And it really exposed it. And so I had to work on my parenting, and I had to work in my career less because I had to put more time into my children. And so, you know, it was a unique timing. It was middle of the pandemic, and I converted to minimalism. And so I was home. I wasn't out filming. I wasn't on the road like I had been for the last 10 years. And so it gave me that year to really be a all-in parent and dedicate it to not have as much stuff. And so it changed my life, because now I'm a much more involved parent. I'm a much more hands-on parent. And I've actually lost 25 pounds because I'm so much more active now in their life, because I'm out running, I'm out walking, I'm out biking. I mean, it changes everything. But what minimalism really does do is that you're not spending time buying the stuff or working to pay for the stuff. And so what you really end up doing is you're just spending more time doing things with your family. And that's the benefit of minimalism. And I just love it. And so how do I take that to my clients who are all over 75? Well, I see them go to these new communities. I see them, you know, move into new home sharing situations. They have all these new living situations. Same fears I had. Same, I mean, absolute same fears. Except they've been in the house 50 years, right? You said you've been married 40 some years. You get used to things in that amount of time. But it's just like going to college. Like, we're all going to experience new things. And so I was lucky enough to experience that. And the payoff is absolutely the new life experiences are so much greater than the safety and the security of the past.
And you write in your book about the hard choices. You write about the hard choices to make. What was the hardest choice you had to make in getting rid of your own stuff?
Well, it's funny. The easy ones were like I had boxes of like high school stuff, right? Like, I mean, notes from ex-girlfriends, right? Like, I don't need that stuff, but I still had them in the attic. But I did do my process and I went through them all. I read them, I laughed, I cried, I experienced it all. But going through my dad was in advertising and my dad was really creative and he was my hero and he was perfect and imperfect at the same time. And you learn all that as you become a dad, right? And I think that's one of the talents. People don't realize that when you're downsizing, most of us are over 60. And so we've got a little more maturity. And so all of a sudden you're going through things like, I have a new relationship with my father because I'm a father. And when I put that stuff in a box 20 years ago, I wasn't. And so some of the stuff you're like, oh, why did I even save this? And some of the stuff you're like, oh man, dad, that was a bad decision, right? And then some of the things you're like, oh man, you're a really good dad. So you go through all these things. But my dad's advertising was hard to get rid of because his was back in the 70s. So it was all graphic and it was written. He would hand draw font, like he designed fonts for newspaper ads. He would hand write them and create them based. I mean, it was an art form. You know, but I didn't need that stuff and nobody else wanted it. And I called all the, you know, even the advertising school that he taught at, they were like, nah, we're good, man. We got the one we need. So I had to like let go of like proof that my dad was this amazing artist. Now I didn't get rid of all of it. I digitized a lot of it, but I tossed about 75% of it. And so that was hard. But here I am a year later and no one's asked me for it. I've got it on digital if I need it. And here I am on your podcast telling you about it and telling the story about my dad and someone will get inspired by it. So I'm going to argue it works, right? But it was hard. I mean, the stuff of the people that you love is the hardest, I think, and the people you miss.
You mentioned your process. Matt, what are the key steps at a high level in your process of decluttering?
Yeah, high level for me, well, you got to really know where you're going first. Like, this is super important because most of my clients are about 65, honestly, 55 to 65. And they call me like, okay, I'm ready to downsize. I go, great, where are you moving? Oh, I don't know. And I find out they're ready to downsize because it's better to clean than to make that decision of what you're going to do next. Like, what if you're going to age in place? What if you're going to get some grab bars and you're going to stay where you are? You may not need to move all this stuff, but I tell everybody, you can't pack for your vacation if you don't know where you're going. And so that is the first thing on my list. And people hate it because they don't want to make that decision, but you've got to, because you got to know where you're going. And then the second part of that is know your why. And I think this is really important. Your destination is where you're going. And the why is what's your motivation? And I really push hard on this. Like, I compare downsizing to exercising all the time. I told this story before, and I hope it's okay to tell. Last year, my son asked me, he said, hey man, are you going to die the same age that your dad did? And I go, well, what do you mean? This is a 12-year-old son. And he goes, well, your dad was 52. When he died, he goes, dad, you're 47. He goes, that's only 5 years. He goes, I won't be a senior in high school if you die at the same age. And I go, you think about that? He goes, yeah, I think about it all the time. And I go, no, I'm not going to die, buddy. Mm-mm. And he goes, well, then why do you eat all that really unhealthy food that you know is bad for you? And it's like, I mean, a gut punch. And so I started my diet the next day because he said, dad, I think I watch you and I think being a parent's going to be hard and I'm going to need your help. And he goes, so I need you to be here to be a grandpa. So that's my why, okay? For exercising, my why is I want to be a grandpa. And it's on my wall, like literally right here to my left, it says grandpa. And so whenever I want to quit exercising or I want to eat some really crappy food, I'm like, okay, I want to be a grandpa. That's my why. So for you on your downsizing, your why might be you want to be closer to grandkids, right? I think that's yours, right? Like your proximity. What if it's proximity to better healthcare? What if it's closer to loved ones? What if it's safety? What if it's health? It can be a million things, but you got to be clear on where you're going and why. And the reason I press that so hard right now is if you really hold yourself to that, then it eliminates the quitting. And the quitting is what gets us. The quitting is, it is the, like, dude, what I do for a living actually sucks, right? but I just have to get you to remember not to quit. And that's when it gets good, is if you don't quit. And so I spent a lot of time on your where and your why. And then the second one I would say is just keep it really, really small. Like, people try to do too much. They try to do the whole house. You know, like, I remind people, you've been in the house for 30 or 40 years. You're not going to empty it in 2 days. And so I said, I talk about a 10-minute sweep in the book a lot. Just start for 10 minutes a night. That's it. 10 minutes a night. And just take your time. And I mean, 1 foot by 1 foot area. And why that matters is you're not going to quit, and you're going to get used to the habits of clearing. And so for me, it's not about the area that you do. It's just that you were consistent and you stayed with it for 10 minutes a night. And I always say, like, start with your junk mail or a junk drawer, like a very small area. And it just creates a good habit. And then I go over keep. What are you going to keep? Basically, I want you to create your legacy list first. So the top ones, then what you're going to keep, then what you're going to donate, and then what you're going to sell, right? So this order: keep, donate, sell, trash. And of course, the book goes into detail on each one. There's a chapter on each one of these steps. But I am big on donation. I will tell you, at this point in our life, you will never be happy with the amount of money you receive for your items. You will be happy with the excitement and the joy of the people that you donate it to. So I really try to, I'm a big proponent of donation, and you'll almost feel like I'm preaching to you in the book, because I promise you, you will have a positive experience if you give it away. If you focus on what you paid for it or what you received for it financially, you will never be happy and you'll be disappointed. And the whole point of this is that you're going to a better destination. So let's start it in a positive way.
What have you noticed, if anything, about different generations and how they view collecting stuff?
Well, I was an economist early in my career, so I have lots of views on this. For me, you know, you got to look at our parents. They were the last of the greatest generation. They were, you know, the last kids of the Depression. So the stuff they held on to, it really mattered more, because they were trying to prove that they, post-war, post-Depression, they existed. They created the suburbs that we all know and live in now. And so they created dining rooms. They created, you know, modern houses. And I mean, I think dining room is really where we could really spend a lot of time on here. For that generation, for the 85 and up now, their life happened in the dining room. And so that dining room furniture, that the china, the crystal, all of the meals happened there, all the communication, all the family, Sunday afternoon meals. Like, we built our family and our society at that point in that room. Well, now it's done in the car on the way to practice, or on the way to the beach house or the lake house. You do it somewhere else, right? Like, now, I mean, think about that. Back then, when you were a kid, we went to grandma's house, right? And now here you are getting ready to be grandpa, and you're driving to the kid's house. It's just different. So we care about things differently, and that's okay. There's a quote in my book, which I liked it, but it wasn't. And now I'm in love with it. Everything in your past was a stepping stone to now. You needed that stuff then. You don't need it now. And that's okay. And so I really want people to buy into that. Stepping stone. That's the key word here. You needed all that junk earlier because it gave you self-worth, or it gave you validity, or it gave you a purpose. It gave you ability. I mean, like, you know, I think when I was a kid, I mean, when I became a father for the first time, I mean, I worked my tail off just to be able to buy my kids a swing set, because I didn't have one. We were very poor. I didn't have a swing set, right? Now I'd tell you, oh my God, don't go buy a swing set. It's the biggest waste of money in the world. Yeah, but like, I needed it then to get me to where I am now. And so I tell everybody, like, just really embrace that concept. But the generations look at things differently. But I think what I really want to stress on this is people think, just because, especially grandma to grandson now, like 65 to 25 millennial, they think, well, they don't want my stuff. They don't love me. That's not it at all. They just don't want that stuff. They don't want the stuff that you think they should want. They want something of yours. It's just something different. They love you. They just have different memories of you. And they want, now the key is you got to ask them. They're like, oh yeah, you don't want my china? Okay, well, what do you want to remember me? And you'll be amazed. It'll be something you didn't even think about, right? But they will love it. And so, and then ask them the why. And it comes back to the story. Oh, you want my cufflinks? Why? And then they're going to tell you this amazing story, and you're going to find out they really do love you, right? But it's for a different reason. So I tell people, don't get hooked on the items that your parents wanted you to have, because your grandkids don't care about those items, but they do care about you. They just need something else.
It's a great point about the stepping stones, because we would never think of not updating our iPhone software.
Yeah.
But with some of these things, we can...
You don't want your grandma's dining room table? That's like a Apple IIe. You know, like you just don't need it.
So my commentary for you on your why, we became grandparents for the first time in March. So highly, highly recommend. You got the right why. It's a
I hear it's the best thing in the world, man. All my buddies are starting to become grandpas and they're like, dude, it's everything you thought. And then you get to give them back. And everyone says that, you know, they're like, it's the greatest thing in the world.
Yes. Our granddaughter was born 6 weeks ago and we've already been up to Boston times.
But we get to go up. Congrats. Go back. Dude, that's awesome.
But you've got the right why. You've got the right why, and that's a great motivator.
Well, so like, look, we spend so much of our, I think we spend our 20s, 30s, and 40s trying to get stuff, right? And then we, in our mid-50s, we start trying to get rid of it. And then by our 60s, we don't want any of it, right? And so it's kind of backwards, really. Like, you know, I wish that as a whole, we could enjoy life with less stuff. It's not for, minimalism is not for everybody. I'm not suggesting that. But I am saying you could live better life with less.
So one thing I noticed about your book, first of all, great stories. Tremendous advice, which I'm implementing, not as quickly as my wife would like, but I'm working on it. But the resources section is awesome. There is just so much there in terms of all kinds of information and resources to tap. Tell me a little bit about how that came to be and why you decided to put them up in there.
At the end of the book, I was just like, hey, man, could you really do this whole process with this book? And I had written the chapters and I was like, no, you can't. You still need the resources. And so I went back to ARP and I said, hey guys, and Penguin, Random House. And I was like, hey, I really want to add this chapter. And I told them what they were doing. And I was like, look, every company I've ever worked with, it's going to be in there. And it's going to list you by the supplies, by the companies, professionals, anything, where you're going to sell it, how to look up, all of it. And they were like, yeah, I mean, you got a week. Like the deadline was the deadline. And so I had to hustle. And what I ended up doing was, so for listeners that haven't seen the book yet, the first part of the resource section is it's the top 100 items people ask me about, like stamps, coins, baseball cards, dining room furniture, crystal, all that. And I list it alphabetical and it tells you everywhere you can go to donate it or sell it or get it appraised. And so if you just got a quick question, boom, it's right there. The second part of it is everyone I've ever worked with, all the people I trust. And so if you really read the book and you're motivated and you want to do it, then you can get started. You can just go to the resource. And I mean, the book will walk you through the process and then the people to use locally with all their websites, by the way, they're there. And it's updated on mylegacylist.com. If you go to my TV show's website, mylegacylist.com, that has some updated websites as they change. But I'm telling you, you can do this on your own if you have the will and the excitement. And what I love about your story, man, is that you guys are doing it together. And like you said, maybe not as fast as she would like, but you're doing it. And that's what matters. Everybody's trying. And so I tell families all the time, like, don't, and I, the female listeners will not like this comment, but I do tell the wives, don't focus on what hasn't gotten done. You got to focus on what has gotten done.
That is going up on the blackboard in our kitchen. So reminder. So thank you for that. But it's a great approach.
Well, otherwise we'll quit. As men, we're going to quit, right? If all you tell us is what we didn't finish, we're not going to finish. And so, hey, ladies, if you're listening, just praise a little bit and say, hey, good job on what you did get done, even though it wasn't enough. And we know it's not enough, but we're simple-minded guys. We just need to be praised once a week. Tell him he did a good job and he'll stick with it. I promise you.
Goes a long way. So given all your work with clients over the years, so many years, I'm wondering if you could share one favorite story about the process.
Man, I have the best job in the world, man. I get to hang with these incredible people. Oh, there's a couple. I think there's a bunch in the book, so I won't spoil those. I'm going to tell one that's not in the book. It was on season two of my show, but I've had a lot of very private, you know, just hanging out with a lady in her house after her husband's died. But this lady, her husband had died. Her father had died. Her father was an associate pastor with Martin Luther King in Boston. I mean, very, very well-known, prominent pastor, African-American pastor. And she had her son who was, when I met her house, her son was in college. So he was mid-20s. And he played baseball on a scholarship at a very well-known college. And a great athlete, good young man. We found buried in her, she, like many people, her parents passed away and she had to just throw all the stuff in the garage. And so we're going through her garage and we're going through her dad's albums. We're going through her dad's paper, old briefcases. And we found, buried in the back of the garage. We found an autographed picture of Hank Aaron and he had met him. The dad had clearly gone and met him and it was like a newspaper clipping, and got it signed. And then we presented it to her, and she's like, that's my son's favorite player. And I didn't know my dad had this. And she's like, my son never met my dad. And she goes, and it's their two favorite players. And she goes, this item connects my son and my dad, and I can now give this to my son. And she's bawling in joy and just excitement and shock. And she's like, man, go dad. Like, she's just, she's like, you go dad. Like, she was so happy because it connected her back to her dad. And then she was just couldn't wait to see her son. And so, like, it's those little moments. Like, it's the things you don't expect you're going to find. And it was just, it was awesome. I mean, it sounds silly. It's a piece of paper. It wasn't worth a particular lot because he signed a ton of things. You know, I mean, we found, just last year, we found a Picasso.
Wow.
Really? Well, so at the end of his life, Picasso would draw anything. And this was one of those checks that he would, you know, if you heard this story, Picasso was very well known for, at the end of his life, he was just trying to get a date, you know? So he would take a bunch of pretty women, young pretty women to dinner. And then he would write it. He's like, I got the bill. And he would, to impress everybody, he would draw a picture on the back. He'd write a check to the restaurant. He would draw a picture on the check. And knowing that the restaurant would never cash the check because it's a Picasso. There, he was notorious around New York City for doing that. And so we found a Picasso check, right? It was worth about what the check was written for. But it's just a hilarious story. But he was like, it's a Picasso. I'm like, well, I mean, kinda. And then underneath it, my expert, he goes, yeah, but that's a Salvador Dali. That's an original Salvador Dali underneath it. And the family had no idea that they had an original Salvador Dali. And their dad was a pretty well-known artist. And they swapped. A lot of artists back in the day would trade. So we found, I mean, a painting that significantly changed this family's life for generations to come, just buried in the attic. And it was really, really cool to see. It's rarely about the money. It's usually about the emotion, right? It's usually the stories and it's the things that connect us to our past. And I think even more that help us enjoy the future. And I get real emotional and real spiritual here because this is what I get to experience every day in people's lives. And so I do tell people, like, hey, man, this could be a really awesome experience, this downsizing. If you have family there, you have friends there, like, try to do it with people because you'll never get a moment to share these experiences and these stories again. And I tell people, record it if you can. Like, I mean, especially if you're creating a legacy list, like, and I encourage most families to do it, like, do it on Zoom. Like, have grandma do a show and tell on Zoom and record it, because you'll be amazed how valuable that recording will be in 10 years. They'll be like, man, look at Uncle John. He's got hair, you know, and like, oh my God, my kids never met my dad. My kids, all seven of my kids will never have met my dad or my grandparents. And so, like, I wish I had those videos because they would have been awesome for them to see it, you know? So I tell people now, like, you've got the technology, you've got the time, and you got the stories. Put that all together and record them.
As you mentioned at the very beginning, it's about the memories, about the stories, about the people, and about the connections that you're making across generations.
If you have the stories and the memories, you won't care about the stuff, I promise you. And you'll be happy wherever you go to.
An occasional Picasso, an occasional Salvador Dali.
Yeah, I mean, don't count on it. But maybe you're, you know, like, I mean, kids' art is the worst thing in the world. You know, our kids, I call it mediocre art, right? Like, your kids' stuff that you've had since fourth grade and they're now 35, right? And you're holding it like, well, I guess I can get rid of it. And there's a lot of guilt out there for that when you get rid of it. But, like, everybody's, if it's your kids, it is a Picasso, right? And so keep one, right? You don't need 100.
Good advice. Keep one. So one of the challenges now with decluttering and downsizing is, it certainly at the outset appears overwhelming. How do you recommend people get started?
Yeah, it really is the 10-minute sweep. Like, I promise you, pick a 1 foot by 1 foot area. That's it. If you start small, you'll be able to keep going. But too many people, they'll be like, okay, we did 10 minutes. Great. Tomorrow we're going to do 9 hours. Like, that's where you're going to burn people out. This is really the game here, is to not burn out your partner. Right. So whoever, and it typically is male versus female. I hate to say that. Just take it slow. If you take it slow and you take off bite size, like 10 minutes for the first week, and then like get up to 34. I mean, like, sort the pictures, sort the junk mail, like those, get ease into it. Take your time. And so this is where I tell people all the time, don't wait until life makes you make this move. Right. Like, your health is going to catch up with you. Your career might end it for you. Family, I mean, something in life in general will make this decision for you. So start earlier and do it a little bit every couple of nights. And if you do that, you'll be ready and you'll get to go where you want to go. You'll be 100% in charge, and your empowerment of this is on you. If you put it off and put it off and put it off, man, life's going to make this decision for you and all your stuff's going to get tossed. So and the memories get lost. And so I've seen both. I've seen thousands of success stories of both of those endings. But you have the choice. It's your choice to do it the right way. Do it often and early so that you have complete control over where you go.
And as you noticed and noted in the book, it's the consistency. Getting started small, but sticking with it, not quitting, keeping with it.
Yeah. The secret is basically not quitting. I don't think this made the book, but my dad told me when I was a kid, I was 16 and I ran track. I was okay. Mm-hmm. I was middle of the pack, you know? And my dad said, "Hey, look, man, you're never going to be the best looking. You're never going to be the richest. You're never going to be the smartest." He goes, "But the one thing you got is," he goes, "you're not going to quit." He goes, "Everybody else will quit at anything." And he goes, "Your secret is just do not quit." He goes, "You will never be the best, but you'll be the last one standing." And so and that's a horrible thing to tell a 16-year-old kid, but it's a great thing to know it at 22, 24. I mean, it gave me, as a businessman, as a kid, it gave me a way head start. And so I learned, just don't quit. And so in downsizing, same thing, man, just don't quit. If you can just stick with it, then you'll finish it. And I promise you, it's a mindset. Like, if you choose to have fun with this, if you go into this, "Man, this sucks," and you're grumpy, it's going to suck. But if you make the decision, "This is going to be fun and I'm going to enjoy it with my partner and my family and I'm going to tell these stories and we're going to have fun," and everyone else buys into that mindset, then it's one of the coolest things you'll ever do, actually.
It really changes your mindset of how you approach it.
Well, everything, right? But you're going to laugh and you're going to cry. And at the end, you're going to be glad you did it. And you'll feel like you lost 1,000 pounds because you got rid of all it. I mean, a pile of anything is a pile of failure, right? And so when we have piles all over our house, it just reminds us, oh man, we're not good. We're not good. We failed. And so you start to knock those things out. You start to feel freer. And there's a youthful excitement, joy of clearing out your house that you'll never experience again. And it's pretty awesome. And I just loved, I'm very lucky that I get to be in the passenger seat when I see people doing that.
Sure. And with 7 kids, they tend to, as they get older, accumulate their own stuff. How do you keep things the right way, the right level now? How do you maintain what you've created?
Well, so I'm extreme on that. We're minimalists. Our kids each have a locker. And what they put in their locker, man, it's none of my business. But if it's not outside of that locker, I'm tossing it. And we really focus on experiences, right? So like, I mean, this is not a popular answer, but like, we have had to learn to tell in-laws and parents and grandparents, no, don't send stuff as gifts. Like, because now you got 4, 6 sets of grandparents, right? In some families, and they're all, and I'm not trying to be rude, but like the grandmas are all trying to one-up each other with all these gifts. And it ruins it, right? It fills the house. And these younger moms don't have the ability to say no. And so we're trying to teach a lot of the younger generations to say no often and early. Grandparents send experiences, don't send stuff. Really, and I promise you as a grandparent will enjoy it more by doing the experiences with them. My oldest son is going to New York City with my mom next week when school gets out. And he's getting to go see his first play on Broadway. And that is his gift for both birthday and Christmas this year, right? And what an experience. He's going to get to go with my mom. He's going to remember this the rest of his life. I mean, we didn't need any more Legos. We didn't. And it's about the same price as Legos and Pokemon and a couple other things. So I would just say it's intentional living with everybody, grandparents, parents, and kids. Everyone's got to buy into the process of like, hey, we're going to focus on experiences, not stuff. And then you'll really like, pretty awesome, because then that gets rid of the gift wrapping paper. You don't have a whole room of half-used gift paper. You don't have bags and bags of gift bag. Like it all adds up. But like, just buy into intentional living and doing more experiences and more experiences than stuff. And I promise you, if you do that, it'll be there. On the maintaining, like with clothes and things like that, I do equal in, equal out. When I bring something new into the house, something of the same size has to get donated.
Makes sense.
But it's intentional. It's daily and intentional. You got to always stay on it.
I think I'm probably looking at a locker for my stuff in my own house. That's definitely my future now after hearing
well,
this.
Well, like, so there has to be a respect between you and your partner. Yes. That like, hey, this right. is his space. This is her space. And so if you fill your locker, like that's cool. But if you get into her locker, that's not cool.
Equal and vice versa. Makes sense. And great point on the experiences over stuff. Pretty compelling. And I want to thank you so much, Matt, for taking the time to get us to think differently about this whole process. Is something that can be actually very joyful and certainly liberating. And it's much more beyond mechanics.
Hey, man, really, for all your listeners, think about donation. I think you'll be amazed at the excitement and happiness you'll experience by giving things away. don't. You've already decided to get rid of it. So don't let an extra dollar get in the way. That's my best advice.
Thanks for all your advice, Matt. Really appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it, man.
Thanks again.
Time for takeaways. Here are three things that occurred to me. I have a longer list, but here are three I'll share. Number one, remember it's about the stories, not the stuff. That's my number one takeaway from Matt, is really appreciating that it's about the memories, not the material things. So I'm going to experiment with losing some of that and see. But the emotional aspect of this is my number one takeaway. Number two, 10 minutes can go a long way if you do it every day. This is the part of the podcast that if you listen closely, you can probably hear my wife laughing in the background. But I am trying this method of 10 minutes a day. I'm having more success at the office than at home, but I am dedicating time each day to put a small dent into my decluttering process. So give it a try, 10 minutes a day, see where it can get for you. I'll keep you posted on my progress. Number three, tap into resources. I highly recommend the resources that he has in his book and his book overall, but the resources, there's a ton, a wealth of information in there. If you're interested in donating stuff, if you're interested in selling stuff or other resources on decluttering, downsizing, wealth of information. And one last point, it occurred to me that this goes beyond just the stuff. There are probably other aspects of our lives that we could apply this approach to. Number one, digital world. What clutter can we reduce there? And then secondly, related to that, what about time? What are some clutter that creeps into how we spend our time? Is that ready for a spring cleaning? Thanks for listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. You can find all of our episodes at our website, retirementwisdom.com. There's a wealth of topics there across five seasons. There are also tools like a quiz, two retirement calculators, and other resources to help you plan for the non-financial side of retirement.
Just one more thing before you take off. Is it time to design your new life after you graduate from the world of full-time work? Go to retirementwisdom.com and schedule a call today with Joe Casey. Working with an experienced coach like Joe can help you explore new possibilities and gain clarity on your future. Thank you for listening to the Retirement Wisdom Podcast. See you next week.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.